So I'm not a doctor yet. I'm just a grad student. So we'll leave that with. My name is Yumiko Henneberry. I'm from UC Davis. I'm a grad student in the Hydrologic Sciences graduate group. And my talk today is on determining the effects of abiotic reduction and crystallization of ferric hydroxides associated with organic matter. Can everyone hear me? Okay? Good. Okay. So, co-precipitation of iron minerals with organic matter occur in several different types of environments. Some of these are estuaries, rivers, and wetlands. The particular system that I'm interested in is wetlands. And in wetlands, the precipitation or the co-precipitation of iron minerals occurs mainly when ferrous iron, which is the reduced form, comes into contact with more aerated environments and becomes a more oxidated and insoluble ferric iron. And subsequently, that then co-precipitates or complexes with various constituents in solutions such as organic matter. This reaction plays key roles in nutrient transport, carbon cycling and sequestration, as well as affects water quality. A similar reaction occurs in the water industry, which is termed coagulation. This is used to remove various constituents of concern, such as particulates and dissolved organic matter. Coagulation occurs with the addition of a coagulant, which is usually in the form of an iron or aluminum salt. And what happens is the salt then hydrolyzes in solution and complexes with the constituents, creating a complex that is termed in the industry flock, which is then physically removed from solution via sedimentation or filtration. Currently, there is a method under study in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta in California, which is using coagulation in conjunction with constructed wetlands to improve water quality and mitigate subsidence. This area used to be a vast wetland. However, it was drained for agricultural purposes in the late 1890s to expose the very rich peat soils for farming. However, due to the oxidative decomposition of the peat, that quickly degraded, and right now we're suffering from severe subsidence issues, which has resulted in levee instability and increased flood risk. In addition, the agricultural drainage waters in the area have very high concentrations of dissolved organic carbon, which is an issue in the water industry, as a fraction of this reacts during the water purification process to create carcinogenic products. So currently, plans are underway where mixing stations will be installed, agricultural drainage water will be pumped in and coagulated, and the resulting water flowed through these constructed wetlands, which will then filtrate the flock, and the resulting water will then be pumped into the main river channels. The plans are that the flock will then incorporate itself with the plant material, and over decades, this sediment will then accrete and improve land surface, which will mitigate subsidence. There have been several long-term studies in the area which have looked at the ability of wetlands to accrete sediment over time, and also coagulation has been implemented successfully in the Florida Everglades to remove phosphate and dissolved organic carbon. However, the feasibility of leaving this flock in a wetland environment over long periods still needs investigation, especially in regards to the ability of the flock to retain dissolved organic carbon if the flock is to be made of iron salts. One of the reasons is because poorly crystalline ferric hydroxides are susceptible to undergo reductive crystallization in the presence of various reductants. Studies have shown that iron II can catalyze the reductive crystallization of ferrohydrite to form goethite, hematite, and magnetite. The concern is that if this happens to flock, as more crystal forms have less surface area, there's potential for DOC to be re-released into solution. However, most of these studies were done on pure minerals, so pure ferrohydrites. However, in natural systems, iron hydroxides contain impurities, such as aluminum and silica, as well as organic matter. And in fact, recent studies have shown that ferrohydrite that has been co-precipitated with organic matter differs in its structural disorder as well as domain size compared to its pure counterparts. So we set out to look at the impact of dissolved organic matter on the reactivity of iron flock. There have been some previous studies that use organic matter on the reactivity of ferrohydrite. However, these mostly used smaller model compounds. So we set out to look at more complex organic matter found in natural conditions. In addition, we wanted to look at the stability of flock under various reducing conditions. And with stability, we mean the ability for the flock to retain organic matter. And we did this under abiotic conditions. We created the flock using standard water industry procedures, which involves the use of a jar tester. And the coagulant we used was ferric sulfate. The solution we used was agricultural drainage water, which was collected from Twitchell Island, an agricultural island located in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. We used several DOC to iron ratios, ranging from 1.9 to 3.5, and the initial solution was adjusted to a pH of 6.5. Two different reductants were used, sulfide and ferrous iron, which are both present under wetland conditions. We used two different concentrations, the low one reflecting average concentrations found in a wetland environment, and the higher one reflecting more extreme conditions. We also used two different pH regimes. The first one was when we didn't control for the pH when we added the reductant. And the second one, we retained the pH at 6.5 by adding a pipes buffer. We also had a control treatment, which involved the use of DI water. The coagulant was added to DI water, which did not contain dissolved organic matter. These were then incubated under anaerobic conditions at room temperature for 2 weeks, destructively sampled on days 0, 5, and 14, and also harvested under anaerobic conditions. The fresh flock was prepared with or analyzed with scanning transmission X-ray microscopy, and the incubation solutions were analyzed for dissolved organic matter, iron, pH, SUVA, which is a proxy for aromaticity of organic matter, and we also use X-ray diffraction to look at the level of crystallinity throughout the incubation process. So I'd first like to start with the Stixim data. This is an elemental mapping of two different flock particles. The carbon is shown in green, and the iron is shown in red. And as you can see here, there's very high spatial correlation between the iron and the carbon. They're very intimately associated with each other. Also, this is a functional group mapping of the flock shown on the previous slide. The original is shown here on the right. The red areas show the aromatic-rich regions, the blue, the amide-rich regions, and the green, the carboxylic-rich regions. What's interesting is there is an association of very distinct functional groups with the iron, especially in regards to the carboxylic-rich functional groups, which support data from previous studies that show that carboxylic functional groups play a major role in organic matter iron complexation. It's interesting to note, however, that the aromatic-rich area is somewhat separated from the rest of the flock, and we sort of hypothesize that that may be due to some sort of hydrophobic partitioning of that functional group. Now for the NextSAF spectra, this basically shows you the bonding environment of a particular compound that has been scanned. So this is the carbon NextSAF spectra for the two flock particles that I have shown here. I like to focus on the regions 3 and 4. So region 3 is this bit here that's outlined in green and shown by the green spectra. And region 4 is the region within the pink circle here, which is also, then shown with the pink line. So the peak here on the region 3 at 288.7 indicates sort of a dominance of carboxyl groups with the carbon. And the pink, for the pink line, the peak here at 289.5 indicates a dominance of O-alkyl group bonding. Now on to the iron NextSAF spectra. This is the same two regions, 3 and 4. As you can see, the green region 3 has a slight shoulder at 708.5 and a peak at 710, while the pink region lacks the shoulder, and also the peak has been shifted over to lower energy levels. This sort of peak split corresponds quite well with the carbon splitting that I described to you before, where the pink region, which was associated with the weaker O-alkyl groups, indeed have this sort of weaker bond energy, and the green region, which is associated with the stronger carboxyl group, has been shifted over to stronger energy levels. Now to the incubation experiment solution results. This is the DOC levels in the unbuffered treatments. The top panel shows the lower DOC to iron ratio, and the lower panel shows the higher DOC to iron ratio. The red triangle and the orange triangle indicate the two sulfide concentrations, and the green and the blue square indicate the two iron concentrations. Now, on the first day, there was some release of DOC into solution, and we sort of want to attribute that to the result of an increase in pH that occurred with the addition of sulfide. However, over time, there was less than 10% of DOC difference between day 1 and day 14. So we concluded that there wasn't a substantial release of DOC over time in the treatments. And now, finally, for the XRD data, all of the crystallinity for all the samples are pretty much similar. So I'll be presenting the data for the buffered low DOC to iron ratio coagulant. The low iron addition actually did not crystallize in any of the samples, and so will not be shown here. I'll first start with the high iron 2 treatment. The yellow bands indicate the goethite peaks, which were the main ones that we found. And as you can see, the top panel is for the treatments with no organic matter, so the coagulant, which was added to DI only. And the lower panel shows the treatments with organic matter. And the no organic matter treatments crystallized by day 14 to form mainly goethite, as well as other peaks we couldn't quite identify. But the organic matter treatments did not crystallize. Similarly, for the low sulfide treatments, the no organic matter crystallized by day 14. However, the no organic matter treatments did not. A more extreme condition here with the higher sulfide, immediately the no organic matter, after maybe 3 or 4 hours upon addition of sulfide, crystallized. However, the treatments with organic matter did not. So we wanted to conclude that the DOM iron hydroxide flock produced a stable system which not only inhibited crystallization, but also limited dissolved organic matter release. And we hypothesized that perhaps the co-precipitation mechanism differs from a desorption mechanism through the creation of different bond strengths, through perhaps this fractionation of DOM on the iron into these separate functional groups, and maybe the creation of increased opportunity for an increased number of bonds. And thank you very much. Oh, I'd like to acknowledge the following people and institution for their advising and financial support. And thank you for listening. Thank you.